Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you to my regular listeners for all of the communications that you send me. It's really inspiring to know that there are so many amazing things going on out there. And our topic today is actually part two of last week when I started talking about technology as a co-creator, as in learning to create with technology but not be led by it. It felt like it was a really important topic because it seems to be everywhere right now. Everywhere you go, people are talking about AI. There seems to be a sense of urgency that, and the pressure on social media that you're going to be left behind. Some of it seems to be fear-based, in my opinion, of push, push, push. You must have technology or else. And for those regular listeners who know me, know that I really love the natural way of learning. But it doesn't mean that we cannot co-create with technology in a conscious way. And so this is part two. Last week, we did discuss, you know, reframing how we see technology and also putting us back into the driver's seat of us being the creator being. Technology is a tool, and it's the intention behind it that really determines the outcome. So, you know, I think it was the last week I mentioned Shakespeare's famous quote from Hamlet, which was, "There's nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so." So it was just us reflecting on our own interpretation, our own mindset, our own perspective, and how we're assigning value to how we're using technology or not. Because it really has always extended human capability, you know, with books and calculators and the internet. It's snuck very closely into our lifestyle. And some people are saying, you know, oh my gosh, AI, it's taking over. Well, I'm sorry to say technology already has. You know, I cannot even go and get petrol in my car without technology today. It's pretty much everywhere. And the fear really does arise from those who are disconnected from their own capacity. So it's okay, well, how can we come back to that? How can we come back to our heart space and create from there? You know, a calculator didn't remove our ability to think, but it did free us to explore more complex problems. And so that's what we're building on this week with part two of the conversation. And for any new listeners, welcome, welcome. You are able to go back to any of the archive shows. This podcast is only half an hour, deliberately so, because I really like it to be in small, sizable chunks where we can just fit in a half an hour here and there, being able to listen in our lives. It's very difficult sometimes to listen to podcasts that are so long and being able to try and fit it into your day. So 30 minutes is easy to digest. And for the newbies, I write an article that goes with and complements the show's topic each week. And many times the articles have suggested activities. So things that are tried and true and tested. For parents of homeschoolers or educators or grandparents, anyone who would like to dive in a little bit deeper. And you can find all of those archive shows and archived articles on bbsradio.com / All Learning Reimagined. We've got over a year's worth now, so there's so much there to explore and dive into. Enjoy. This is my passion. This is my passion project, and this is a hobby that I have. I really love this. Okay, so enough about the business side of things. Let's dive into this conversation, and really, it's a discovery. I'd love to be able to lead this conversation so that we can discover and really settle into our own selves and our own heart space and feel within our body, does this align with me? Does this not align with me? And why not? When you're in tune with yourself, you often get that this doesn't feel right, it feels off, or yes, this feels good, and go and sit with that information, journal with it, think about it when you're walking, ask yourself the conversation just before you go to sleep, and if you're driving in a car, have a conversation with someone next to you. What's your opinion? What's their opinion? Where do you see technology going in the future? I mean, there's so many people out there talking about, 6,000 plus patents which have been hidden from ordinary people. Now, I don't have any evidence of if any of this is true, but if it is, then a lot of that were technologies that could do extraordinary things. So, I really do feel that in the next couple of years, we're going to see a lot of revealing of technologies that are going to reshape our future. So when it comes to learning and education, launching things and deciding how can we use this technology to help everybody, particularly communities, and for to free us up so that we have more time to create and relax and be and explore and build relationships, then that can only be a good thing, in my opinion. Okay, so we did talk about AI as a collaborator, but not an authority. And then where I left off last week was discussing teaching discernment. Discernment, in my opinion, is an overused word these days. Lots of people talk about discernment, but I'm not actually sure everybody knows truly what it means. And particularly in the education space, it's, not everything that's generated is accurate, and not all of it is aligned with what we choose or what we prefer. And it's being able to see through the propaganda or manipulation, and being able to check, well, is this aligned with myself and not only your belief systems? Because as we know, belief systems can be hijacked and we can be programmed. Our human mind is very, very programmable, particularly with repetition and our tell a lie to our vision. Television is programming us with their regular program. So we do need to be aware of are the belief systems that we have actually ours? Where did these come from? So when we're discerning, it's often feeling into your own self. It's that going within to see if it aligns with your own true self, your true essence, your heart soul essence. And teaching children to do this sounds complicated, but it's actually easier than you think, because particularly young children, they naturally do this. They naturally have this discernment. That's why you have your 2 and 3 year olds having tantrums, because they don't want to do it, because they know that it's against what they don't want to do. They have a very strong discernment tool when they're young. It's just that we program them out of it. So when it comes to using technology, giving technology too early to children really does rewire their brain. We've seen the evidence for that. We've seen the scientific evidence for that. It rewires how they sheet, how they think, and shapes their brain and how they act. So there are cautions to be had there, particularly around we don't know what it is that they're watching and how it is manipulating their brain to be responding to stimulus. And this is the danger from my perspective. I'm seeing lots of children today, and as regular listeners know, I've been in the education game for well over 3 decades, so 30 plus years. I've been in this space, and I have, particularly for the last 10 to 15 years, observed so many children who are almost addicted to outside stimulus. They no longer listen within themselves, particularly once you get to the middle and upper primary and secondary school and university. For some children, there's a big disconnect, and it seems to be those who use technology or blindly use technology and lose that sense of self and connection to nature. If there's no balance between the two, then it's not using technology as a collaborator. It's almost like an authority. Let me see what AI tells me. Let me see what Google tells me, because they're addicted to searching on Google. Now, whether you Google or not, I mean, it's terrible the fact that we use Google as a verb these days. I'm going to Google it. I mean, seriously, why can't we say search or research? Let's use proper words here. We don't need to use a company's name, which is ingrained in the Western society, which is quite scary when you think about it. So coming back to stepping up and saying, well, does this information feel true to me? And sitting with it. And yes, that may seem boring. Yes, that may seem too simple, but it's not. That's what discernment is. It's cross-checking information. And as some of you out there would know, how can you cross-check information on the internet when the same company owns so many different media outlets and so many different book publishers? When you have the same conglomerate company behind the scene who actually owns or creates all of the textbooks, and they are the ones who are giving the yay or the nay to the information that is being taught in schools, how can we discern from that? How can you cross-check? Because I can easily go and say, well, I'm just going to go and search another website. But the other website basically regurgitates the same information, different words. But if that same website comes from the background source, then that's not really cross-checking. And this is the danger of our society today and with internet, because in the age of AI, anything can be made to look real. I don't know how many times someone's shown me a video clip and said, oh my gosh, have you seen this? And I'm looking at it going, how do you know that's even real? How do you know that's not AI generated? We need to really stop and listen and not blindly follow our senses without using discernment and questioning. Where did this information come from? Does it feel true to me? And then add our own perspectives to the query and the conversation. And cross-checking where we can. And cross-checking can just be asking people around you, although that can also be a dangerous slippery slope because they've been programmed at the same time in the same cultural society. So, what do we do with this? Well, in my opinion, discernment is the new literacy that is essential. In any learning environment, in any home, teaching children to really stop and listen to how their own body feels. We know we have basically three minds. We've got our brain, which we know is a tool. We have our heart, which is where our wisdom is kept. If we really sit and listen to our heart, it can tell us so many things. All of our knowledge is stored there. It's our knowing, our inner knowing. And then, of course, we have our gut, which is a whole show in itself, talking about our gut and our intuition. So, but when they align and they all seem to, logically, it feels good, it logically makes sense. And then you've got that discernment with how your gut and your instincts are going. Those alignments can be a discernment tools, which are really important. And I wanted to share with you today some different activities you can use to hone these skills. It's fun to do. The children really get into it. They really love it. But in my opinion, navigating society and the world that is shaping very, very quickly, too quickly for us to be keeping up, quite frankly, many of us have whiplash by looking at all of the new things that are coming out, trying to keep up with it. But it's that linking your self-knowledge to get clarity, and also wise use of tools, not allowing that external stimulation of technology to control us. So it's how we choosing to use it. And just because it's presented information to us doesn't mean we blindly follow it. It's okay, I need to sit with this. I'm going to go and cross-check this. And taking sometimes slower is faster. Speeding things up doesn't necessarily make things easier. And so this all comes down to knowing yourself first, then engaging with the world. Everything you need is within you. This is, we create our own realities from within. And so the external stimulation can influence us, but when you are solid and grounded and you know who you are, it's very difficult to be able to sway you because you're using all of the tools available, not just the mind. So, practical examples for children. These are some that I have played with, or I have observed others doing with children, and they've worked fantastically. So the first one is story co-creation. I mean, children write stories, they have characters and settings and themes, and you can definitely use technology to help expand those themes. You can get them to generate dialogue ideas, you can get them to generate images, and you can blend different images straight away, and you can do it without using copyright. That's how I use AI. So when I write my articles each week, I actually use an AI technology to create the image to go with my article, purely because I don't have time to go searching for the right image. I basically type in, this is what I want, and it creates it. Bang, done. It's useful because it saves me time, and quite often I have to push back on the image that it gives me. It's like, no, I don't want that image. Change this, do this, do this, and you can actually co-create with it. And the same thing can happen when you're writing and telling stories. Children have amazing imaginations, and when they are co-creating and using technology to help them generate it, particularly children with learning needs. And you can get it to help edit what you're producing, or publish what you're producing and shape it. Those co-creations can be absolutely amazing. So, there's creativity plus the authorship, because you're still authoring it, but you're doing it with a tool, and with discernment to choose what fits what you want. Because this is the thing, humans are the creators. They are the ones making the decisions. They are the ones looking at the information being presented to them, and they're either choosing to use it or not. One of the other things is to be aware of is passive consumption versus conscious creation. And we've already been talking about this, but I really did want to name it. I know I mentioned it in the last show, but it is something that I would like to just mention. And the passive consumption is, oh gosh, you see it every day. Adults and teenagers in particular have their phones and they're scrolling endlessly, or they might be accepting answers blindly, or they're using it purely for entertainment only. Conscious creation is when you're creating something meaningful. You might be questioning or refining, or you're using the tool, the technology to express or contribute to something or to explore something. It might be you're in a community and you're connecting with others, or possibly instead of scrolling endlessly, you are using micro learning and you're doing small courses or online courses, and you're upskilling yourself, because the risk is not the technology itself, it's that being passive, and stopping to question. But when we stop creating and questioning, that's when we forget that we are the origin point for the using technology. Okay, so I'm going to go on to my next example, and this is one that's been around for so long. Any teachers out there will definitely resonate with it, and that's passion projects. If a child is interested in animals, if a child is interested in building, if a child is interested in, oh gosh, anything, sewing or fashion, whatever their interest happens to be, growing plants, gardens, fixing cars, you can use the technology to do the research to upskill. I mean, really, you could do a university degree these days with YouTube. there are children out there doing it. They're not graduating with a piece of paper to say that they actually did a course. And yes, university lecturers out there, I know you're screaming at the radio right now. I get it. I totally get it. But this is genuinely happening in our world. There are students out there, there are teenagers out there that are not seeing value in the education system anymore. It is obsolete to them. It is too slow. It is out of date. It is out of date. Why would they spend 4 years, 3 years studying at a university when they can actually go onto the internet and have access to lots of short courses, short micro learning courses, upskill themselves in the specific that they want and that they choose, and then they can go and create their own job, create their own pathway. It's happening. Whether you want to put in your head in the sand or not, it's already happening. The days of traditional education are numbered. And that is because a lot of our universities and schools are preparing children for jobs that will be obsolete in 5 to 10 years' time, possibly even sooner. It's happening as we speak. That doesn't mean there'll be no jobs for anyone. It means that it's going to shift, skill sets will shift. And so staying with a very rigid curriculum doesn't suit anymore. And we need to have a look. Delete need. We're in the process of having a look at, well, what can we do to use technology to enhance our learning, to free us up so that we can become more conscious creators of the life that we want and actually have a lifestyle. Who wants their children to be stuck in a rat race until they retire to only have a few good years to relax? No one wants that anymore. Neither the children don't either. That's why there's such a huge pushback on the system. That's why there's so many school refusals. That's why globally there's such a massive shift towards homeschooling, because the traditional system is becoming very fast obsolete. Something has to give. So in the meantime, using things like a passion project where children, teenagers, adults, I mean, this podcast that you're listening to right now is my passion project. I don't waste time on social media. I don't waste hours watching television. It's boring. I would rather go and create. I go and talk to people. I like to write. I love to write. That's why I write articles each week. I have so much experience that I want to share, and I love talking. So, tick, 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 I've decided to use a passion project. And yes, I use technology. I'm recording on technology right now. It's not the enemy, it's a tool that I'm choosing to use in my conscious creation. And children can do this too. I mean, if you've got a child interested in animals, they could go and research the habitats. They could design a dream wildlife sanctuary. There's so many different things that they could use technology to help them in their passion project. If you've got a child or a student who's a builder, then they can use technology to do different sketches and designs. Yes, you can use pencil and paper to do sketches, but you can do more advanced 3D sketches using different technology programs to be able to create and to design ideas, help come up with the material list so then they can go and physically build it. It's such an amazing tool that can be used and is being used in so many different places around the world. I don't know how many conversations I've had with amazing beings out there who are doing this. I mean, the technology can support the curiosity. It's not replacing the curiosity. It can enhance the skill set, so that the student can take it further and expand on what they know. And then that comes to activity three, which I have on this week, and that is creative expression. I get really sad when, I have a group of students, and I say, let's write a poem, let's write a song, let's go and write. And all they want to do is go on AI, type the instruction, and then within seconds, there is a perfect song that, or a perfect poem, and it's just presented to them, but it's not their own voice. So this is one to really sit and listen to discernment. And I feel really, my heart aches for all of the authors out there, all of the music artists out there who are seeing, even all of the artists really in any medium that are seeing their field being dominated by technology. And so this is something that I really feel quite passionate about, where we're not losing our own voice. And I know that I have seen a huge swing against using the technology, technology-driven music or technology-driven artwork, because people want authentic, real creativity that a human has created. However, I know a musician who uses a technology program. Many people are using it. You can just type in what you want a song to create, and it even sings it for you and it produces the whole thing. And it publishes it for you. Great. If that suits your what you want to do, fantastic. However, what she's doing is she uses the technology as she's writing her songs and lyrics, and she's using it without having to pay for musicians or a recording studio, and she's using it to play and come up with her demo tapes. And then once she's got that sorted, then she can use that technology to take it to the next, to help her take it to the next step before she can go and record live with her singing. So you can co-create with it. It doesn't have to be losing your own voice. You can record, you can perform, you can share with the community, you can extend what you're doing with the technology, as long as you're not losing your inner voice. And then that leads me into activity number four, which is inquiry learning, where children can ask a really big question. Any question? Gosh, I'm trying to think one off the top of my head. How do you want to reduce waste in your home? And then you can use the technology and the AI to gather lots of ideas, and then you can go and test the solutions in real life. This is something you can do in classrooms all of the time. Research, action, reflection can happen, and the technology can enhance that. Activity number five, creating, but not just watching. So we can shift from just watching videos, watching YouTube, to going and creating the content. We want content creators. We don't want passive consumers. And so you can get children to create mini documentaries or nature observation journals, or teach others something that they've learned and create their own videos and become content creators, which, of course, there's a huge world out there, and a lot of teenagers out there are making a lot of money, far more than what their parents are, being conscious creators. They've cottoned on to the fact that they don't have to go through a traditional system in order to create a lifestyle for themselves. It's very, very interesting. And the micro learning, which I've mentioned before, is the last activity that I've got today. So there's lots of micro learning activities that children can do using technology. And whilst I am running out of time and I don't have time to go through all of the activities that I've got, you can go and find them all on the article that I've created for this week. So you go to bbsradio.com/ All Learning Reimagined, and you'll find the article, all the activities instructions that I've shared with you today, and more, of course. I've also got a small section on there I probably should mention, which is guidance for parents, because children don't need perfection, but they do need guidance. And so there's lots of small shifts and things that parents can do to take technology from distraction or consumption to creation and to contribution. You know, because when the child knows themselves as a creator, even a small moment co-creating with the technology can become quite powerful. So, parents out there, check that out on the article as well. I'm sure you'll be really happy to hear it. And that brings me really full circle to what I was saying at the beginning of episode one, which I did last week, and that's that technology is not the problem. Disconnection from self is the problem. That's the concern. But when the child knows who they are, when they trust their inner voice, and when they're guided by beautiful adults such as yourself or peers such as yourself to create and question and contribute, then technology can become the tool for expansion and not that technology or the tool for limitation. And I'm going to leave it there, beautiful listeners. I love you all. I will listen to you and talk to you next week. Thank you for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.